So today we are reading the verse number 17. And in this verse you can see, in fact the last few verses, Sita Goswami is just going back and he is glorifying the Lord again and again. See, he is not, you know, one time we say it's not good enough. So many times the Lord has been praised. You know, his glories have been again and again he is trying to repeat. So again this particular verse he is telling the all auspicious. You know, here the word Subhadra is used. You know what is Subhadra? The opposite of Subhadra is Maya. Opposite is Bhadra. Bhadra means Maya. Illusion. Illusory energy. Subhadra is Yoga Maya. That's why Yoga Maya, Mahamaya. Okay? So Bhadra and Subhadra. The word Su means auspicious. Bhadra means inauspicious. So that's why he's all auspicious. The Lord is always all auspicious. So he is telling everyone that this auspiciousness, and he is engaging, and he is telling this particular verse is basically telling that everything that we do or whatever we get, it doesn't matter our position, where we belong to. It doesn't matter, it doesn't look at whether we are a karmi, whether we are materialist, whether we are philosopher, or whether we are yogi or devotee. It doesn't matter. Everybody, whatever qualities, whatever things that you can get in this life, it should be used for the Lord. See, like material, so many things in this world are all used for the Lord. Anything can be used. It can be used. It's only whether you want to use it. So similarly, in this particular system, basically what he is trying to say is this. If we don't use, what happens? That's what he says. He's telling, it will be no fruit. Fruitless. It will have no fruit. But if we use it, then how to use it? In its service. The service again comes in. See, without devotional service, nothing is fruitful. That's basically he's putting it there. What can be fruitful? That's why you see a yogi or a karmi or even the impersonalist, all these who are not involved in service. Service means bhakti yoga. Only in bhakti yoga there is service. No other yoga has service. So it's technically is putting in play that you need devotional service no matter what. It doesn't matter. As even as a materialist, if you are earning some money, you bring it back, you use it for Krishna service. You will still get benefit. Benefit means you are not talking about some material benefit coming in. No, we are not talking about that. That's not what Bhagavatam is going to talk about. Bhagavatam is talking about what you are going to get spiritual benefit. You will never lose out. In any way, there is no loss. Krishna again confirms, you know, in the 11th chapter, that he is speaking to Uddhava, he is telling, anything done for my service will never be a loss. Everything, even the slightest bit of it, it will be accounted for. You don't worry about that. He is confirming, he is making such a guarantee to Uddhava. So like that, and here again you see how Sudha Goswami starts off his teaching. This is supposed to be creation, you know. This chapter is supposed to be process of creation. But he is glorifying the Lord for so much of wonderful things that he has given us in this world. Even though it may be only, you know, we may say it's an illusory energy of his, the Lord, which is inferior energy and so on. But still, as far as the Lord is concerned, because the Lord is all auspicious, He has made these also very, very purposeful and very, very useful for the living entities to come back to Him. So, now, we are going into this. Let's go a little deeper and see how this verse is affecting. The karmis, jnanis, yogis, materialists, all these people, they may be learners. You may be having so much education. Actually, you know, when you take education from as a materialist or even as a, you know, in the normal day to day, when you are taking education, remember that, you know, you are taking something from someone else, you know. It is not coming free of charge like that. You know, somebody like you know, the taxpayer pays. Not every taxpayer gets equal amount of money back, you know, or the benefit back. You cannot get. It's impossible for any government or establishment or what to make in such a way that I collect so much money I can distribute equally to everybody. No, it's not impossible. So a person who is taking so much of education and this from the state is actually indebted. They are indirectly indebted to return. Not sit back in the next door, when you are in the seat and position, or immediately you think, no, I must make sure I have accounted for, you know, how much I spend for my education, I must make sure I may get back, you know. So the doctor thinks, no, I must charge you a bit high on this and that consultation, this one. Professionals will go on. That is not the right thing. You know, you have to give that because you are indebted to the public. So similarly, imagine everything belongs to the Lord. Then what is the question of we taking it? No question of we taking it. We have to return. We have to give it back to the Lord. Otherwise, there is no question of gratefulness at all. Who is grateful then? You are not grateful. We are actually teacher number one. We are cheating everybody. We are taking the Lord's one. And mind you, the education, you know, those people who are getting and all this, those who want to be charitable, the money that he is getting, the political leaders, the kind of position and the name, fame or whatever you may be getting, even those social, religious leaders, philosophers, philosophical speculators, and those people who are practicing yoga, all, every single one, it doesn't matter transcendentalists or non-transcendentalists, all are receiving their respective element of ability from the Lord. Ability comes from Krishna. Krishna confirms in the Bhagavad Gita. Ability is coming from me. So all these abilities are just coming, and we may wonder why is it some people get the ability and some people don't get the ability, or some get different abilities at different times. It is simply by karma. Your past activities, based on that, he is just giving the ability to use. But the person who uses it very wisely by using it for the service of the Lord is considered the number one. He is considered intelligent. He is really the learned, educated person. So similarly, everything can be used. I'm sure every single one got some talent. Anyone, whether he is a materialist or not, still he has a talent. If he can use that, that becomes his stepping stone. If you are a materialist, that becomes a stepping stone to come for, to understand the Lord. To understand who is God. If we keep on using it for our own benefit, thinking that it is mine and my senses must be glorified and my senses must be given all the happiness and all that, then what will happen? We will always remain godless. No spiritual thing in our life. It will never be awakened. God consciousness will never be awakened in our heart at all. And then, this engaging, the moment we engage these abilities, the senses comes in. If you don't engage with the Lord, then it is our own senses. It's like, you know, when there is a vacuum, suddenly you see the air will come in, or if not, the water will come in and move in. Something will come and occupy. So similarly, the moment we have some ability or some good qualities or something which we can use, and many things that we have in our life, if we can use it for the Lord, then we are fine. If we don't use it, immediately some other requirement will come which will be related to Maya. And so we will be drifted. That's why he says, cannot be fruitful. You will never become fruitful if you use it for yourself. Because in the first place it doesn't belong to you anyway. So how the fruit will come? See, it doesn't bear fruit. So in Bhagavatam 6.4.26, purport, in the purport, Prabhupada is saying, when one engages the tongue in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and tasting only Krishna Prasad with a spirit of service, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is revealed. See, only when he is, when you are chanting, you are actually invoking the spiritual vibration, song vibration into you. And as a result, you are getting. And as when we eat, prasad is also spiritual. Then you see, the Lord is revealed. Revealed means, does not mean necessarily in the very start you will come and stand in front and say, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, and you must worship me or what. No, he doesn't. That is not revealed. That is not necessarily revealed. Revealed is by realization. Our realization will come. When we read these verses, realization will start flowing in. That is where the knowledge becomes life. Otherwise it is just wording, just words only. What's the use of having words unless there's realization? This realization will only come about when we are serious in our endeavors. And whatever we can, we are trying to offer it to the Lord and use it for His service. So, therefore, Prabhupada is telling that this particular aspect of spiritualizing ourselves with Hare Krishna Mahamantra and Krishna Prasad is one of the key things. Which we are fortunate we are getting it. And in Bhagavad Gita 3.10, we can see how merciful the Lord is. It is saying, in the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods along with sacrifice for Vishnu and blessed them by saying, be thou happy by this yajna sacrifice, because its performance will be bestowed upon you all desirable things. See, the moment he created this world, this is his objective. The objective is, I will give you the things. I am supposed to be the Yajnapati. So you sacrifice, you do your work, you do whatever, but make sure you give it on for me, for my service. Give it to me. Then everything, whatever you desire, everything will come. If you are a materialist and you are thinking of some material endeavors and all that, that will come. If you are a speculator and you think, I want to have more brains to speculate, he will give you a lot of flowery words and, you know, sweet ways of saying things. Yes, he will give you that ability. So like that, everybody, a yogi who wants to sit and meditate, yes, I will give you. His desire is that, he will get. But the first thing is, you have to dovetail whatever you have for the Lord's service. That is the first starting point. So, in this verse 3.10, Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada is making it, the material creation by the Lord of creature, Vishnu, is a chance offered to the conditioned souls to come back home, back to Godhead, you see. It's a chance. You see, the Lord itself making all arrangements for us. So whether we are using it, that's another question. But he has already taken into account. He is not creating, you know, some people disgustingly he is telling from his heart of bottom of heart, blaming, thinking that you, because Lord, you created this world and you made it in such a mess, you know, into this. That's why I am dragged in, you put in Maya there, so I got attracted to the Maya. No. He wanted in the very first place. I want some independence. So therefore he is creating. But when, even then, he doesn't say, oh, you can get lost, whatever you want. No, he created something which is so useful for us, which you can always use it for the Lord's service. And get all the fruitful results you want in life. You want to be a great personality, okay, I want to be the Prime Minister, or I want to be the great one, everyone will, you know, a celebrity or what. Carry on, if you think that is good for you, you carry on, but you use it for this thing, then you see everything will come. But you may not be hankering for, as a materialist, you may not be hankering for the best. But over a period of time, when you get hit by Maya, you know, by getting that result, what you think is nice, oh, I want to be this famous man, that famous man, I want to be in this position or what. Yes, it goes on. But as you go along and you sit in that position and get the hit, which is related to the position, everything got its own merit of payment. You know, you have to pay. It's not free. You sit there is consequences there. It comes as a package. You sit there, you have to go through that difficulty and suffer, you have to suffer. And in that suffering, the Lord is hoping that you will turn your head. Start thinking. At least, no, this is not the right thing. And hoping that you change. That's why in the creation itself, the starting itself, the Lord has already made all these arrangements. And then, so, that is why Sudha Goswami is telling you cannot achieve fruitful results. If you don't, there is no way. Because the result belongs to Krishna. That's why many of us, when we do things, yes, the endeavor starts from us, the desire starts from us, fair. But, the result is in Krishna's hand. The same thing goes to Krishna also. When Krishna is taking back whatever you are doing, he doesn't look at the result. He is not going to see, oh, how much of meditation you did, or how much of chanting you did. No. He is seeing how sincerely you have done, and how much you are endeavoring. And he knows our situation, where we are in. We may be in situations which are so difficult, our mind has been distracted with so much of material tribulations and this and that. We know, he knows by our karmic distinct, we are in this kind of position. So, how much of concentration we can have and how much of heart we can put in, he knows. Nevertheless, even though it is so difficult to overcome, we are putting all the effort within our own ability. That endeavor and the ability that you are putting in, that is what he is looking at. He is not looking at whether you are now, okay, have you reached this level? Okay, now I give you the prema. No. No. That's why, you see, if he sincerely can sit down and chant some very good rounds, that's it. It is not a question of I am chanting 20 rounds, 30 rounds or 50 rounds. It is not the number. No. He doesn't look at that. The result is in his hand. Because he is the one going to give the result, no? He can make it fail or success. That is in his hand. So, we put in the endeavor, the result. That is why he says, you don't put this, whatever you have, back to the Lord, you are not going to use it for service, then how can it be fruitful? Cannot be fruitful. So So that's why Siddha Goswami is very clearly saying, cannot be Krishna. And everything, you see, whenever we get something, there are two things we can do. We can use it in the use, you know, in the community, in terms of good use. We can use it in two ways. One is for our own sense gratification, or the other one is for another, other than oneself. Other than oneself. These are two ways you can use it. Now, when we use it for our own sense gratification, it's very simple. Nothing to talk. We are just using it for our own benefit. We think it is nice, everything is wonderful, I am happy. That is all I want. I am not interested in whether the other person is happy or not, he is what. No. Just let stop there. So that is a very selfish kind of behavior, right? That's selfish. That we are not looking at others at all. That is not Vaishnavism. Vaishnavism looks at others more than yourself. Yourself is always low. You always, no, I am not up to that mark yet. I am far below. I have long way to go to reach that particular devotee. Oh, it's very nice, he is doing so much seva. But he looks at others. When he sees other people suffering, other people not getting the chance, he runs. He goes for that person. No, I must help him. See, this is Vaishnavism. So therefore, he devotes everything that he has for the service of the Lord. Because the Lord becomes happy. When a living entity is being helped by someone and he is getting some form of happiness, the Lord becomes so happy. Because the Lord is actually using, he is becoming an instrument for the Lord to fulfill whatever the person wants, you know, the other person wants. So, therefore, when we talk about service to others then, what is it? Prabhupada puts it very nicely, you know. He puts a very nice word and qualifies it again. In the service of one other than oneself. Now he can just say one other. But then he qualifies it, say then oneself. Why the one then self is there? Because if you are doing service, okay, you want to help somebody and all this, with the motive that you have something to gain, then this is not, doesn't apply. See? Then it's no more yourself. It's no more the other than yourself. It is meant for you, actually. You are doing service for the others or helping somebody, but it's not meant for his service, for his well-being. It is not for his own well-being. It's for your well-being, indirectly. Because you are finding that if I help this, then I can get this. Indirectly he will come, he will help me in some other way. That he says no. That is not the one he is talking about, number two. Because the number one, if you do it this way, in terms of a return, that means with the motive, that is also sense gratification. That is also termed as sense gratification. Because we may not be getting it directly, but indirectly we are still getting it. We are doing, our action is prompted by thinking that we can get something out of it by helping this person, or he's a rich man. Now if I, you know, do this and I could do this, all his actions are dovetailing to nothing but his return, his sense gratification. Not that he is trying to help that person, no. But one with no motive, he goes and helps somebody, then he is perfect. Then he is definitely trying to help that person. He doesn't rise up to say what, whether I get anything or not, no. Whether he helps me back or whether he returns me the money, it doesn't matter. This is called without motive. This is what the other service is all about. Yeah? How it can be utilized. So, therefore, and then of course, when we summarize, you will find that what Prabhupada says there, two kinds of self-interest. There are two kinds of self-interest is there, no matter how you work it out. One is for your personal and the other is extended. But whatever the personal interest, so what? It all amounts to sense gratification only. Whether it's extended or whether it's this, because it all relates back to our body. It's in relation to our body. Our body gets it, therefore it's wonderful. So this kind of self-interest is not good for anybody. Whether your transcendentalist or non-transcendentalist is not good for you. Because why? We become biased. When you have self-interest, definitely biasness will set in. So in a biased state, you cannot make an equal judgment, a very nice sound judgment. No way. It's impossible. You have to cite somebody. You will cite. You will cite for yourself. Your interest will be taken care of first. So where is the question of fairness? And in that respect, we are definitely bound to hurt others. Definitely you will hurt other living entities whom we are dealing with. So that is why this personal interest and all these issues. That's why Krishna, in the first starting, he is telling Arjuna, you are not the body, you are this. See, get out of this concept, body business. You are not a body. Once you are seeing a body, then personal interest, sense gratification all comes in. See, it is sometimes easy to say, oh, we are not the body, we are this thing. But our action does not really, it doesn't show, you know, the way we actually reading on. Because why? We don't have that strong conviction and we don't have that realization yet. We still need a lot of improvement in our sadhana. And then, so this biasness and all this, if you want to get out of this, if our qualities that we develop in this world, the qualities that we develop can be through so many, you know, as what he says, you know, as a philosopher, speculator, and materialist, or transcendentalist, as yogis, or karmis, doesn't matter, Lord, devotees. These qualities all are developing, and these qualities have to be used in the Lord. Then only the quality means something. Otherwise the quality is no use. You hurt others. People become very this thing. Because why? They become jealous, you know. Oh, this guy is having so much of this thing. It's because why? This is not used for the Lord. It is used for somebody else whom he doesn't like. He doesn't like that person, so therefore he says, oh, you help him, how can? So always this biasness will come in and will step in and difficult. And then Prabhupada points a wonderful, wonderful point there. He says, self-interest of a living being must coincide with the Lord's interest. Yes. That is the biggest problem. Our self-interest, our interest is not coinciding with the Lord. That is why we are telling Krishna willing. Krishna's will must be the same as our will. First of all, we must make sure that our will is coinciding with the Lord. If the Lord is singing, this is what I should do, then you must see singing. You must act also according to that will. Then your self-interest becomes purified. Your interest becomes really purified. Because it's in line with the Lord. Then become fruitful. See? That's how the service, see how service is linked, and then service eventually becomes fruitful. Even though your material is, but your as far as that is, you think that no, I must dovetail my service and my qualities and whatever I got, all these things for the Lord. And therefore, it becomes fruitful. The fruit you are asking is up to you. I mean, it's of not the highest quality, you know, there are some wonderful top grade mangoes, instead of that you go and ask, I want some durians and some whatever, then it's just too bad. You know, that's because of our intelligence, no, we are not using our intelligence. Okay. So therefore, and one other thing is that our interest, our willingness, our interest all can change, keep changing according to time, place, circumstance and all this, it'll keep changing. But Krishna's no. Krishna has a specific point, he has specific interest for all of us. If we fall into that interest, we are successful. Otherwise, no. So therefore, what is the Lord saying about the interest of maintaining a body and a soul together? What is he? What is his interest? What is he reflecting about body, soul? He says, okay, carry on body, you as a soul sit inside and you can self-gratify yourself. No. He's telling that the body, that Krishna's interest in having the body, a material body and a soul, and the soul put inside for what? It's for God consciousness. Nothing else. That is his interest. And so if we don't use that body for that purpose, then again it comes back. You know the verse? You are not using the staff given to you for the service of the Lord. So if our body is not used for his service, knowing him, then the body is not fruitful. It will not get its fruit. What happens? It will go back again. Back again into this birth and death cycle. But the moment you use it and all this, what happens? You slowly, you will get purified and eventually by His mercy, you go back. Then the body is useful. So, in this way, we can then get tried. You know, when we use the body is the only one we can use. Human body, only the one we can use for the realization of God. No other body. And that's where we can know the relationship. What is our relationship with the Lord? See? What is the relation? He is God. He is supposed to be the Supreme. He has everything. But what is our relationship? All is a relationship we can build and realize and understand is only through human body. The body has to be there. And then, this advancement of learning, economic development, spiritual, this philosophical research, all this, you know, some pious activities also come out. You know, some feel that, oh, I'm doing pious activities, like, you know, opening hospitals, charity, I'm giving so much money, my distribution of food, great, oh, fantastic, and I'm doing, and austerity, so much austerity, you know, I'm going to hostel and all this. What is all this for? What is this for? If it doesn't please the Lord, then what's the use? If the Lord's interest is not coinciding with what He's doing, what's the use? You are only causing disturbances. Although in the mode of goodness it may sound good. Charity, give someone who is poor, he doesn't have, so you are giving him. Wow, nice. That is the reason why you see even in the mode of goodness when you do charity or action in the mode of goodness, you still get reaction. You cannot run away from that. You still have to be born in a higher planetary system or into an aristocratic family. You cannot run away. Your body still comes back. You are still given a body and come back to this material world and face this. That means your saga still goes on. Your legend never ends in the material world. It goes on. Why? Because you have not utilized your body in full. So pious activities, if it is not God failed to the Lord, and again it is of no value, the reaction is still coming back to us. And if we don't, what happens? It becomes a source of trouble for others in general. Sometimes we think, oh, it's wonderful, I have done so many things, so many, so I'm giving so much charity, I'm helpful to these people, that people. Yes, but it's a source of trouble to others. Mind you, when you open up a hospital or you open up charitable and all this. You know, when you are not equally distributing things, you know, it hurts some. Some who feels that he should get, but because of some whatever, you know, your management abilities or whatever, you know, you may not be able to equally give a little. And immediately the other person is already feeling hurt. That is going to react already. It's reacting against you as a charitable person. That's why in the material world, it's like a razor, no? It's very dangerous. No? Either way, you get reactions. Anywhere you start in the material world, when your action is, reaction comes. That's why Krishna says, you act for me, then no reaction comes to you. And that is what Sri Goswami is telling you. You just act for the Lord, and everything will be fruitful. And then he says that whatever you are doing, do it for the pleasure of the Lord. His pleasure is the most important, because when he is happy, everybody is happy. It's like in a family, you know. The child becomes a child of anyone in the family, the wife or anyone. You find the whole family becomes happy when the father is happy. Because he provides everything. He's ready to provide you, he's not going to scold you for anything, because he's very happy. So similarly, when our eternal father Krishna is happy, means then what is the question of? We are all there. You won't be having this kind of a lot of calamities and all the kind of problems you can think of in this current day and age. He's not happy. Why he's not happy? Because nothing is against him. That's the yajna, nothing. My share. He's not asking for it, no? Because you don't do it, you don't get it. So it's not he's asking rightfully, my mind, you must give it to me, no. He's telling me, please do it for your own good. Come to the temple, see darshan, for your own good. Not that you come and see me in the darshan and I give you the darshan and you... No. He is not out of, you know, whether he come there or not. But he is only very concerned, his compassion is so high that he is only hoping that he can just come, take the darshan, and you will benefit. You will be purified to some extent. And of all these, one of the easiest and many easy way for us to actually do this, like, you know, Prabhupada put that, reading Bhagavatam. Just sit down at home, you read Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, just read. Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, these are some of the things which has nothing about self-interest. He doesn't talk anything about our interest there. Our self-interest or what? He's talking about our good things only. Good of us. What is good for us? What is auspicious for us? So when we keep reading that, then you see slowly our purification starts. So in Bhagavad Gita 9:27 is a very famous verse. Yat karosi yat yasnasi yat vihosi dadasi yat yat tapasi yasya kamteya tat kurishwa mat arpanam. O Sanakunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering unto me. Whatever. When you are talking about eating, you want to do, you need energy. Where are you going to get the energy? He is going to supply you energy. It's Krishna. Krishna is giving you the energy. When you eat, how can we ever create or manufacture mango or whatever fruits or vegetables or rice or grains or any dairy product? No, we cannot. Can we manufacture milk these people are thinking by rearing the cow and then I'm giving him so much of fruit and so much of this grass and this and that. Oh, now I'm manufacturing. I'm a manufacturer of dairy products. Is he? No. He cannot produce even one single drop of milk. So all these are coming from him. Everything is coming from the Lord. And the Lord is freely giving. And then there, you see, Prabhupada is saying, please mold our life so that we will not forget Krishna. That is what also Rupa Goswami is saying. Anything that is favorable to Krishna, grab it. Say, yes, I want it. Anything that is not favorable to Krishna, reject it. The nectar of instruction is telling. Because the key point is Krishna. If that is missing in a modern godless civilization, that is missing. So when that center, that means the anchor is not there. So we are drifting all over the place. Thinking that can be the God, this can be the God, this must be the thing I must do, and this I cannot do, I should not do, because my self-interest is somewhere, so based on my self-interest, I find I should not do like this. The good, bad, everything is based on our self-interest. From our perspective, we think that, oh, if I do like this, it's wrong. See? Like a knife, you can use it in two ways. So if you go and kill somebody and then he says no, actually it's okay, no, because he's not so favorable to me, no. He has done so many things to me, no. He has also beaten me up. You can show a million reasons, but still, where is the justification for us to kill someone? No justification. Because can we give the life back? No. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked me. He'll say, you want to kill this and that. Animals and kill and eat and all these things. Can you give life back? Because when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was said that, oh, you know, in my, Sankarsi was saying, in yoga, this thing also got sacrifice. Animal sacrifice. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, it is not the same as you cut and eat. No, in your sastra you are telling that you have this thing. In Islam it says, see, I can eat beef. But now the space of it. This one, what he is trying to say is he is giving life to that particular animal. Not killing. By the offering. Whereas this one you are cutting and eating, you are killing. Can you give life? No. So therefore it is sinful. So similarly, as we look at it, Prabhupada is saying, this is what Krishna recommends in this verse of Bhagavad Gita 9:27. Please mold your life so that you will never forget Krishna. And then, the same thing this particular verse is saying. You see, there are so many verses within Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam you can relate back. So here again Sudha Goswami is telling this. Same thing. And then, you see, we always have mind, word and action. These are three things that we will always have, you know, humans. The mind is there, the word is there, the action is there. Now, these three components are all three different components. They are all different. They also act differently, but the one who finds that these three things, mind, word and action, is harmonized, then that person is a learned person, educated. He is really an educated. This is what a transcendentalist is trying to do. He is trying to make the mind, if not, you know what happened, we are, our mind is thinking something, our word is something, saying something, and our action is doing something else. All the three different things we are doing. See, that means our mind, word, actions are not coinciding. We ourselves are contradicting. So a person who has not the pairing their qualities for the interest and service of the Lord means these three will never coordinate. Only a person who, that's why a devotee, you find these three things are very important. To him, mind, what mind thinks is what his words will be. And what his words says is what his action will be. He will not contradict one another. So therefore he is harmonious. So therefore he will be useful for everybody. And therefore that particular action has potency. That is why they say you can read so much of Bhagavatam or whatever, you know, Bhagavad Gita, all these things, and then can hear a lot of wonderful instructions from the Guru, Shastra and Sadhus. But if you don't follow it, then what's the point? Because if you don't follow, then this will not happen. Your mind, words and action will all go in different directions. So therefore, you don't get the fruit of that instruction. The instruction is already given. It's based on well-being. Blessing, it's a blessing. We only need to follow. But the moment we don't follow, we say, it's very difficult. That means the first start of our journey, we are killing it away. We are killing that particular idea or instruction given to you. We put an endeavor, Krishna will make the necessary steps. The rest of it, Krishna will make. Mercy, his mercy is there. Why are we worried? Not we are going to make it. His mercy is the one going to fulfill all the rest. We are always thinking our endeavor. No, I don't have the power. Yes, we do not need to say it. We all know. We don't have the power. That is true. It's a fact. But that is not what Krishna is talking in the Bhagavatam or what. No, the sages, the great personalities, sadhus, they are not talking about that. He is telling you just follow, mercy will follow. It's a done deal, you know. It's just following only. And therefore, if our self-interest is not in harmony with the Lord, this is also gone. See, we get nothing. No fruit at all. And then, if not, we are always contradicting. Everyone is blaming us, we don't do this, we don't do that, this, right? Because our interest, what we are doing is all, has no relationship with the Lord at all. So everybody looks at differently. And then, this, you know, the karmis, jnanis, yogis, they are all trying to make these three things together, no? Mind, word, action. They are trying very, very hard. But they find it difficult. Extremely difficult compared to a devotee. Why? Because a devotee, he dedicates all his work and these things for the service of the Lord. That is, he is looking at the interest of the Lord, his pleasure, and he is working. So therefore, the Lord makes mind, word and action all go together nicely. Whereas the transcendentalists and all is just struggling with their own endeavors. My mind must come and the word I am telling must be correct, my action. So that is why, you see, when he is in meditation, yes, he is in the, because the Lord's help is there, so therefore he is getting some this thing because of the endeavor, no? Because of the endeavor, the body is fulfilling to some extent, okay, you can get all this concentration. But the moment you come out of this meditation, you are back to normal. Your mind action are not in line. Because it's no more with the Lord. You are on your own. So similarly, in many of the things you find that, you know, although, you know, you don't dovetail all these qualities and whatever you may have for the Lord's service, you may say, you know, you may bear some fruit. You may bear some fruit, but not fruitful. But it will not be fruitful. Why? Because that fruit is going to be unripe forever and going to be bitter taste, that's all. You will not get the real mature of life. The fruit cannot mature. It doesn't ripen at all. So, here, what we have to do is, in order to make all this become fruitful, we have to become God conscious. That is what sum and substance of what Prabhupada is telling. We have to become God conscious. Otherwise, it doesn't make. And then he is telling, please read Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. That's what is ending this beautiful verse and this purport. To become God conscious, one has to hear about the all auspicious Lord as he is described in literatures like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. See, the difference, you know the difference in hearing Bhagavatam? You know what is the big difference? We can read so many. Yeah. We can read Harry Potter, that Potter, this Potter, all the things in the world. But reading Bhagavatam, what is the difference? And it says in 177, it's saying it increases the loving devotional service to the Lord. It increases. And number two, it clears lamentation. Lamentation goes, you know, the problem with us is we are having so much to lament. I lose this. Oh, I'm lost. So I'm very sad. This is something so dear to me, I've lost. So lamentation starts. It's bothering us in our mind. And then illusion. Clears the illusion. We can see things and distinguish it as it is. This is clearing illusion. Or and fearfulness. Also clears fearfulness. There is no fear. Why? Because the Lord is taking care of us. Why should we fear? If at all anything comes, we know very clearly by the knowledge given to us by the Shastra, Sadhu and Guru, that there is an element called past life and its reaction, or karma. So we know it is that. So therefore we become, okay, this is it. So therefore, whatever is coming out of this thing is not anybody else's fault. I need not have to point finger at somebody else. It is my fault. I am suffering this material thing out of my fault. It's nothing to do with the sadhanas that the Lord has actually prescribed. Or the sadhu or shastra gurus are saying. We just follow. Don't let this karmic reaction overtake us. Because that will come and go. Like season. That's what Krishna says. Like a season, it will come and go. Whether we want goodness, happiness or sad, doesn't matter. It will come, it will go. And so, then, in Garuda Puran, it says, there are two things that are nectar in this world. There are two things that are nectar in this world. And you know what are these nectars? And it is saying, number one, devotion to Lord Hari. That is the nectar in this world. Garuda Puran is saying. And number two, association with his devotees. That is nectar. See, that is why you see Sadhu Sangha, and when we are talking about this, like today, we are sitting here, we are doing this Bhagavatam. These two things are happening. Devotion to the Lord. It is purely out of devotion that we are coming here and we wanted to listen to the Lord's glories and at the same time associating as devotees who are like-minded. You know? This is called satsang. And that is why he says it's nectar. That's why it's blissful. Nobody feels very unhappy. We don't think about our whatever difficulties we may think, or whatever my work is going to give me problem next week. I got this to do that. Doesn't. All are gone with the wind. We are here completely. That's the reason. And then in Garuda Purana also, he is telling the devotee's position. He is telling, is better than 10 million Vedantis. One devotee is better than 10 million Vedantis. His position is greater than. Vedantis, of course, they are, you know, having certain amount, they have read so much of Vedas and all these, they are really like a pandit, you know. But their application is where we don't find. Because the service is not there, so therefore the application is not there. Only when the service is there, then we are applying this knowledge, you know. Otherwise, there is no. That is why he says, you must dovetail. Otherwise, where is the question of service? If our constitutional position is a servant of the Lord, service is number one. Service is the number one priority in our life. So we have to serve the Lord. And so, in the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam 438, Prabhupada is putting it, the unity of the individual souls attempting to satisfy the Supreme Lord or rendering service to the Lord is a real unity. If you really want to unite with the Lord and being alike, like what the Lord wants and all this, then the real unity is satisfying the Supreme Lord or rendering service to the Lord. That is the real unity. That's how we can unite. This is the way he calls. And actually this is the reason, this is what the Shastra is saying, what we call merge with the Lord. Not as what materialists, impersonalists are saying. No, I will merge with the Lord. I cannot merge. I am an individual. We cannot merge. Individuals are always individual. That Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita clearly. You are an individual, the king are the individuals, and everyone here are individuals. They have existed in the past, and they will exist. They are existing now, and they will continue to exist in the past, in the present and future. So, where is the question of individual? You know, individual doesn't. He is talking about consciousness. That's why Prabhupada explains this. The real, this thing is the consciousness. If you merge with the Lord means you merge in the same individual kind of, you know, His consciousness with your consciousness. That is called merge. Not the way it is explaining that thing. But having said all this, before I close off, actually I've more or less come to the end, but before that I'd just like to add on a little bit on this. Recently we were quite fortunate to go to Jagannath Puri, and we went to Jagannath Puri and we managed to witness the Jagannath Radha Yatra. And also we went to Bhubaneswar and also at Mayapur. And many of us, you know, I never dreamt in my life that I will get a chance to go to Jagannath Puri for Radha Yatra. Although I have been to Jagannath Puri many times, not during the Radha Yatra. Why? Because always I always put off thinking that it's a very crowded time, you know. So crowded that actually you got no chance in the walk. You know, during the Jagannath Puri there, all the shops are closed. Shops are closed. So to us, we see, oh, shopping is one of the big things, you know, because we want to buy. Although we relate it and say, no, we are buying something for the Lord and all these things. Yes, that's true. But still, the festival mode is like really like Vaikuntha. The whole place is like Vaikuntha. just simply don't know what is happening somewhere else. Nothing is more important. You see how Lord Jagannath takes over everything there. Every single thing, movements, everything he decides. And how the people there are also relating to them, to this Lord. To the Lord so nicely, wonderfully, cooking for them and all this. Although we may say, oh, maybe they are, you know, the way of their worship is not up to this standard or that standard. That is because we are trying to compare it with the other kinds of worships, different worships. But whatever it is, Jagannath accepts that and he is pleased. So you see, everything goes on so beautifully. And normally we put away, you know, thinking, oh, it's very difficult, you know, very hard. But somehow or other there was some deep, you know, somehow, you know, I hope one day we can go and, you know, witness this wonderful event. And so we got, and true enough, it was very, very crowded. It is jam-packed. There is no way of you moving around and all. But you can be rest assured, every single soul who turned up on that day got a chance one way or other to get the darshan of the Lord. There is nobody can go back and say, I never get the darshan of the Lord. Everybody got the darshan. See, how crowded also. Of course, we were fortunate because we had some help from the Pandavas, you know, whom we know. He has been so helpful. So he got us a gallery, so we could see. We could sit in the gallery and we could see. Especially the starting event. The starting event, the Lord coming into the rock in itself is a great, great festival. It took almost 4 hours. About 10 o'clock like that we started out at the actual this thing. First, his entourage, you know, his paraphernalias, all these are brought in to the cart. And then you see, followed by the Lord will come. And when he comes, oh, he's not going to come with just nothing. You know, very so dull, morose, no. He'll be coming with his great band, you know, the big, big gongs, you know. Wonderful, you know, they play to a certain special, you know, the music, you know, special music. And then he comes, and you see all the Pandavas, everyone standing there, not only the Pandavas, even the people are just moving to that tune. They're just dancing for the pleasure of the Lord. And here, one by one, you know, they are coming, one after another. And by the time, finally, when Jagannath came, it was already about 2 o'clock. Can you imagine, about 10 o'clock, and he was, by the time he came, was about almost 1 something. The Lord takes his he determined what time you are going to come, what time you can do. And wonderfully, you see, the way, you know, he comes up, especially when he is going up the rock. They will put a big platform because the rock is not the small, small type that we see around in our things. You have to maybe multiply it into hundreds and thousands of times. That's big. The engine about now almost about, I think about 20 over wheels, you know, the wheel itself, you know, about 20 over wheels per, there are 3 rocks. And just imagine how, and how many people are standing there, hundreds of people standing on the rock. The Pandavas, all this to help out the Lord in his first time. So hear the Lord, and when he comes up, you see him, you know, the way he dances up, you know, because he's, you know, as the pastime goes, you know, he's not in this world, he's not thinking of Dwaraka, he's thinking about Vrindavan. So you see the way, you know, he comes up, it's completely so beautiful, and the way he bring in, and the way they bring the Lord up, it's so wonderful, and the sound and all. So the whole place becomes like real Vaikuntha. If you have read about the description of Vaikuntha, you can have a feel of it. Yeah. Wonderful. It's a wonderful experience. And then when the Lord comes and he sits, and then he starts, then he starts, you know, they put up all this. Then you see the darshan, oh, wonderful. Very wonderful. And then when he moves, and moving, we think that, you know, we are going to do a great pull. Oh, we are very strong, we can pull. Nothing works. You can pull and pull and pull, nothing will happen, not even a single, not even a millimeter is moved. But when the Lord decides, okay, now I'm going to move, it moves. And you'll be surprised, there'll be hundreds of people pulling. But we will be surprised to see the front, these ropes are slack. You know the front, the ropes are slack. Then how is this raft is moving? Fantastic. And when it comes to a time where, you know, he will not go one go like that, you know. It's actually, if you see the Puri, the Grand Road, is actually a straight road. But that road is not compared to our road here. No, it's so small. This is also small. You know, even if you take out the divider from Serangoon Road, this, all this, and we put the whole road, it's nothing. Even if you take the highway, take the divider away and put, that's still not big enough. The Grand Road is really very, very big, very wide. And imagine that road, it's only a straight road. It's only about 1.5 kilometers or so from the starting point, the temple, Jagannath temple, to Gundicha temple. It's only about 1.5 kilometers. So the Lord does not go straight now. I mean, He goes straight, but He will not go as you think you can pull and go. No. He will take His rest. In between, He will stop. If He thinks must stop, He will stop. And you cannot pull. You may be pulling very hard, but when He decides to stop, you will see everything will come to a standstill. Then everybody knows, no, you pull us to no use. Because at one time, we noticed this is something we witnessed it. Subhadra's cart. Baladev already gone. He, after this thing all, then he decided to go and he went. And there he was moving, and after some time he stopped. Here, Subhadra is supposed to move out. Subhadra refused. I mean, these people are pulling because the time is okay, everything alright, all done. You know, all the paraphernalia, everything is set, all the mantras, all the pujas done. Okay, now we can move. But here, everybody, okay, you can move, and they're moving. They're trying to pull. They pull and pull, and nothing happens. Until that time, when she decided, okay, now go, go. Then you see, immediately, everybody is able to pull. And those people were pulled. I mean, I didn't get a chance to pull because even the Pandava was standing there not. Because it is, in fact, the police themselves, they also were restricted. All Matajis, children, elderlies and all that. Only the able-bodied young youth can. Otherwise, no. Even you are in the 40s, better move out. Better move out. Because it is like, you touch that rope, everybody is going to come after you. The one kid also. So what to do? You better leave it. You can get a chance to touch into the door, very nice. But keep away. So he says, just take that sin away. So anyway, it was wonderful and really was very nice. And you know, the Lord was so merciful that after that, when he reaches the Gundicha temple, at Gundicha temple, he will be there in the rock the whole day. Only the next day, he is supposed to go into the temple. When he is in the rock, anybody, you can go and see. Late night, people, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, people getting in darshan. There is no close of any curtain there. No curtain. For Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, no curtain. Darshan is going on all throughout the night. And all throughout the night you see people. And all throughout the night people can queue up. If you want to go on the rath, you can queue up and go there and go to the rath, on the top of the rath. And take darshan very close. And if you're lucky enough, you can touch the rath. Okay? Because the thing is, the rush is so great. to just to go up, even the staircase, you know, you have to be very careful. And going up, and there in the front, the pandas will be all standing. So they want to make sure the crowd moves, because the crowd is so big, you know, how many miles long the queue. So he cannot afford to allow people to stand there and watch or touch or watch too long. Move, 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 move. He's beating. Come on, move, move on. And here you can just come, just seconds, let them move on. But in that respect, we were quite fortunate because we know this Manav. He brought us by some other way, you know, not by the queue differently. And he went there, he stopped the queue. He stopped the queue and then he said, no, these are my relatives. I want them to get the darshan. So then he told the pandals, the respective pandals, to do the necessary. So, you know, he allowed us to touch and hug and, you know, so many, wonderful. When he was telling some mantras and all that and all that. And after that, he took us straight. He said, no, don't go out. Just come with me. Then he came, he brought us just behind Jagannath. Just behind Jagannath, there's nobody there because the queue must move out by the other side, go off. You know, they come by the front, look at the Lord, get that sense, and then move on. So we got a chance to go at the back and sit down there. And he said, you sit there, do seva for the Lord. Just massage the Lord. Yeah, I mean, we didn't expect all these things will come. But fortunate wise is that myself and Bhattacharya Prabhu got the chance. Because Mataji said, no, please not. Very difficult. Because to come up the rock, to bring them up is very tough. Very, very crowded and all that. And they will be like pancakes. They'll be pancakes if they try to, because the crowd is terrible. And some of them can be very, very rough. Because the enthusiasm to meet the Lord and think, they will do anything. Anyhow, they will climb. So, anyway, we got the chance and we managed to massage the Lord. And he said, no, you take your time. Nobody will come and tell you anything. Anybody, just tell, no, I ask you. So we are massaging the Lord and all that. And at that time, you know, we could witness what our actual devotee, we call their devotee and sincerity to the Lord and service and all, like a jeev is something we are doing so great and all. It's just nothing. The way, you know, some of the people who comes, you know, to the queue and they get even beaten, they don't mind. Never mind, my Lord, it's for your pleasure. But I just want to see you. And they come, they will fight, but you know, those people behind cannot touch. Because the queue comes and then you will be 2-3 queues like that, come out. And here, some people, by the time they move out, they suddenly get a chance to, you know, sleep off and be able to come to the bottom where you are sitting down. You know, there you see no queue, nothing, very clear. So some of them, they notice there's some gap, they'll move in. Oh my God, you see some of them, I tell you, some of the devotees are clearly, they come there, they ask the Lord and cry. They are crying their heart out. And of course they are telling, you know, their whatever prayers and whatever things, they are crying and telling the Lord. So wonderful, and then we can feel we are nothing. But just by the Lord's grace, somehow we were given that opportunity to do that service. You know, it's wonderful. And it is something, although it's very crowded, but it is a lifetime experience. I don't know how many lifetimes I can say. It's not one life, maybe many, many lifetimes. It's one fortunate thing that we can always, but it's worth. It's a little hot, yes, it's period, now it's hot. But nevertheless, Jagannath makes it all nice cool. Cool. You know, the sun in the morning was horrible. The day before, all were horrible. Terrible sun. And the day we were in the gallery, oh, we were thinking, you know, but anyway, in the gallery there was some shade or so. But the sun suddenly just gone. Just completely, bring the clouds and cover off. Nothing there left. So beautiful, nice weather. And after all that finished, when Jagannath completed his Radha Yatra, when he reached Kundija temple and all that, around 5 o'clock, 5:30, about 5:30 like that, really a rain came. Swept the whole place, cool it down. A heavy rain, but just for a short while only. Just a short while, hardly 15-20 minutes. Rain means you can see water pools already gathering early. Pools of water already gathering early. So wonderful. And cool. And during the rain, we came back after this thing, okay, the Lord is already moving, so we better go back. Because it is long hours already, we have been sitting there from the morning, 6 o'clock. So we said, okay, never mind, it's already, the Lord is already moving. So once they move up, then we can start moving. Otherwise, with the crowd, cannot. It's too crowded. So we came back and we were in the room and we didn't even know. After that, later on, when the Pandava called, all right, hey, you can come to the Rath, you can take darshan there. When he came out, wow, what is this? The whole place is full of water and so cooling. So cooling. Just now we realized it was quite hot. And then when we went to darshan, and there the darshan is open all the time. You can have it whole night. And in another way, we are also fortunate that the next day, being a Thursday, the Lord will not be moved into the temple. So he continues to stay in the Rath. So the next day, again one more day. And that was the day we got this opportunity to go to the Rath and all that. And do the because once the Lord moves into the Gundija temple, then it's tough. Because, Gundija temple is not that big. So that compound and all that, you've got no chance to really actually go to the front or see the Lord. You can see from far, or sometimes you cannot even see. Because the whole temple is jam-packed, that you can't even go in. But it was a very wonderful this thing. But of course, we had this thing for now the return journey, we cannot witness because it's a few days later, no? Take some days. But nevertheless, Jagannath was really merciful. When we came to Mayapur, then we saw Jagannath was in Mayapur temple. He was in the temple, no? At Panchatattva's hall. The site, he made a wonderful big altar specially for Jagannath, Baldev Subhadra. Because they had also the same type of Radha Yatra from Jagannath Mandir in Mayapur right up to the temple. That's also about 1 hour kilometers, about 1.5 kilometers. So the Lord has come here and now He is there. And so every day His glorifications and so many things are going on in the evening. Wonderful prayers going on. And on that day when we were leaving, that was the Radha Yatra day. That was the Radha Yatra where Lord is going to now return to Jagannath Mandir. Oh, so we managed to get the chance to participate in that Radha Yatra. So in Puri we got the actual main Radha Yatra, and then back from Gundija to back to Jagannath Mandir, we got in Mayapur, wonderful. And there in Mayapur we managed to get, of course, very close darshan of the ceremony where they bring the Lord. Of course, it is not so gorgeous as in Jagannath Puri, but nevertheless you can get a glimpse of it because the way they play the gong and all. I'm very sure those people, the devotees there, have been trained so much. They've been gone through so much of rehearsal and all. The coordinating is very nice, very beautiful. And you see the Lord, the way He dances and comes and goes to the cart. So there you see so many nice things. So It's a very wonderful experience. So if anybody really has that desire, Krishna will definitely fulfill. Jagannath will definitely fulfill. But to have a glimpse of all these things is what? Coming Saturday. Now coming Sunday, we are going to have it at the rope experience. And the spirit is not that we are going to do one further as it's so gorgeous or not, but no, because we do not have that kind of manpower or logistics or the know-how and all that thing. But in the little way that Prabhupada has actually shown us, that is what we are going to reflect it there. And we hope and we are sure that, you know, Jagannath will take care of all the things to come and to make it wonderful. But on our part, we must make sure we are there with fire, ready for pulling. And of course, we do not have to pull that hard because these are not very big cars. Okay, really small. A replica, you know. We cannot imitate them because theirs is different. Even if the authorities allow us to use the Singapore roads also, we cannot imitate them because that one rat also cannot go into that road. It's too big. Too big. We just like, you know, covering the one big road, you know, like that. So it is not possible also. But it is a wonderful experience. Okay, we'll stop here. So if there is any questions or comments, we'd like to...
Hare Krishna, thanks for the nice chat. So here Prabhupada says building hospital, all those things are our self-interest. I heard ISKCON also we have some hospital. How they are using it for devotional service?
Yes. Actually this is also part of our this thing. But they are totally different in the sense that this is used for the Lord's service. You see, everywhere, in the ward, in the morning, you know, the morning when they start off, they don't just start off like normal. They have these pujas and all these kind of things. You know, they have our standard deities and all that. All those abled ones can attend this arti, mangalarti, all these things. Which a normal hospital, there is a such facility. These are different. Because it's totally, and all servings are prasadam. All servings. You may need porridge, some people, this is, whatever is, all are offered and given. And on top of that, you see sannyasis visiting, giving you the blessing, the devotees visiting, giving you blessing. All these are something which you never see in any other hospitals. The other hospitals, the only thing is, I am putting the money and building, and yes, you can have some discounted rates of payment or whatever, that's all. Other than that, the charitable aspect is only that much of it. But in ours, it's different. Is giving you so much, and they give you what even deity pictures, Prabhupada's pictures, all this. There are so many this kind of thing. Even the doctor, when he comes, he will wish you Hare Krishna. Yes. So you see, the mood is different in that. Not like you can compare it to normal any other hospital or such. Okay, so that's why many people actually opt, you know, whenever they get terminal disease and all, and they know it's very difficult for me, you know, and all that, they don't mind going like this, because why? I still can remember Krishna. other places, the food they bring in, the way they greet you, the other things, all are totally different. He make you forget Krishna. So your disease become worse. See? So definitely it's a lot of different. That's why it's very, very relevant to our verse today. When we are dovetailing the whatever the facilities that Krishna is giving for the service of the Lord, it becomes very useful, even though it is a hospital. There are so many sickly people are there. Is there any more, anything else? Anybody would like to? Okay, we'll close it. Yeah. Gandharva Srimad Bhagavatam ki Jai, Prabhupada ki Jai, Ananda Kori Vaishnavandi ki Jai, Gaura Brahmanandi
Chandrasekhar Acharya Prabhu ki
Jai, Prabhupada ki Jai, Sadhu Dev ki Jai, Gaura Brahmanandi.